And no doubt you have guessed by the praise that we give to our Father, the glory that we give to our King, and the fact that we sing, "Mine eyes can see the glory of the presence of the Lord." He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. I can see the flaming tempest of his swift descending sword. Our King is marching on. This is the subject that we will use today in regards to our King marching on. And our subject will be something about God. You know, as we look around us today, we see the results of some of the things that have been sown years ago. We see some terrible times coming. We see some people who would do anything to make it uncomfortable for others. And the reason is that we are come to a time of great judgment. We're going to talk about the judgment of God. And the subject will be, all nations before God's judgment bar. All nations. You know, there's a wonderful poem that reads, "The hour of temptation has come to the church, and the time of her testing is here. And the ominous storm clouds of great portend roll up, betokening that the tempest is near." But you know, the church has a captain who will lead in the fray, and he will not allow any of his soldiers to be harmed. But these ominous storm clouds that are coming can be very easily seen today. We feel the ominous fact that they will be on all the people, and all people will suffer. And we know that they will suffer. Why? Why is this? Because God has given humanity the opportunity to ameliorate themselves. For instance, you know, since 606 B.C., God has given over to the Gentiles times that they might prove whether they love God or not. And we find that what happened? Well, God knew that they would not, because in Daniel, the second chapter, he tells us of the great image, and the head of gold, the shoulders of silver, and the thighs of brass, and the feet of iron, the legs and feet of iron. These were four great universal empires that existed in time past, and they grew up and were strong. Nebuchadnezzar was the head, gold. Gold means divine. Gold means the best. Gold because God said this would happen. And what happened to the first universal empire? You know, the words that came upon the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. What does that mean? You have been weighed in the balance, and you have been found wanting. And so the first universal empire fell down. And of course you know that the Middle Persians went into the Euphrates and they went under the wall and they conquered Babylonia. So Babylonia fell. Medo Persia fell. Grecia fell. And then this image, as it was standing, a great stone cut out of the mountain with no hands came hurling through the air, and it was to hit that image. image.
Where?
At the very feet. And that image was crushed and it was just smashed to pieces.
What was that stone? Anybody know?
The church. The church is that stone. The development of what? God's kingdom. So the church is the nucleus of God's kingdom. And so it would destroy that image. That's just one picture. Then in the 7th chapter of Daniel, we have a picture of four animals, four beasts. And the four beasts, dear friends, were also a picture of the same universal empires. Yes, the one, of course, was the lion. And then the other one was the bear. Then the other one was the leopard. And then the other one was an animal that could not even be described. Can you imagine coming out of the sea? There was no description for that last animal. And the size wasn't even described. How big was it? We know how big a lion is. We know how big a bear is. We know how big a leopard is. And these three animals represented Babylonia, Medo-Persia, the bear, and the fast and swift leopard was, who was it? Alexander the Great, Grecia. But this animal that came out of the sea was an animal that couldn't be described. Prehistoric, what was it? We don't know. But this represented a tremendously large empire. What empire was it?
Rome.
Now, this represented Rome, and it exists today. Would you believe that? That the same society that was brought forth in the great Roman Empire, we still see today the laws and the type of judgment that they used then, and the type of we have today our Congress. We have today judiciary committees and so forth. Those were all made up in Rome. The same thing. They had justice. They had a wonderful way of bringing out their government and taking all these people captives and having them be under them and serving under them, and they were the first ones to tax them. And today we're still having trouble with taxes. But the idea is that God has a controversy with man. The Gentile nations were taken over from Babylonia to Medo-Persia to Grecia to Rome. And how do we know that they have existed up till today? How do we know? Because we say the Gentile times are over. When were they over? Anybody know?
1914.
The Gentile times are over. Then you ask, well, why is it that we are still having the troubles that we are having? It's because, you know, when the landlord says, you've got to get out of this house. That's 1914. But you don't get out of the house, do you? You say, well, you put me out. And he doesn't put you out. He can't put you out himself. So what does he do? What does he do literally? If somebody's going to be put out, what does the landlord do?
He brings a sheriff.
Yes, he brings a sheriff. That's right. He brings a sheriff, and the sheriff comes with a writ, and he comes with some men. And the men go up into the house and take all your furniture and take it out of the house and put it right in the middle of the sidewalk. I've seen this done many times. People were thrown out of their homes. And they put all the furniture on the side of the sidewalk. Then you can hire yourself a truck and take it away. But this is exactly what's happening today, dear friends. The Gentile times are over, 1914. But what's happening? They're hanging on for dear life. They don't want to get out. They don't want to leave. So already, God has called for the sheriff. And the sheriff will come. Do you know who the sheriff is?
Jesus.
Yes. And
the
great time of trouble. The great time of trouble will take them out.
take them out entirely. And so this is where we find ourselves today, dear friends. 1914 is quite a while back. Today we are living in the century, or centenary, or centenary, or how do you say it, 100 years since our Lord returned, 1974, from 1874. So something is happening in the world. And we are more cognizant of this happening than ever before. What has caused all this terribleness in the world? Where has the world gone wrong? What did the Gentiles do that they don't deserve to stay in the system of the world? Why are they being put out? What is happening to the world? Well, in Deuteronomy, if you want to follow with me, you can follow, and we will read about the Lord, chapter 13, one to three. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. This was the test. The Lord your God will prove you. Now this goes, of course, to the Lord's people first. Judgment starts where? In the house of God. So the house of God are the first to be judged. The Lord will prove you whether you are faithful or not. But at the same time, he will prove to the whole world of mankind. He has given them the opportunity to make better, and they have failed. And because they have failed, God is now pronounced this thing. He is saying the same thing that he said to King Belshazzar. What did he say to him? Belshazzar looked for Daniel. Where is Daniel? He says, where is he? Who can explain what that hand is on the wall? That finger that's writing on the wall. Who can tell us what it is? The king, as a matter of fact, his knees were banging together when he saw that. Many, many tekel you pharsin, and you have been weighed in the balance, and you are found wanting. In other words, the weight is too low. It's not heavy enough to balance. You're way up, you see? And so today we see that the Lord is doing the same thing. Does the Lord hate all the people? No. He loves mankind. But he has a controversy with the nations. And so the nations will have to pay for, number one, their ingratitude. Ingratitude is the world's reward. The nations have had the opportunity. Do you know, the past 1900 years, Europe has had all of the various religious teachers that the world has ever known, teaching Christianity, teaching all different types of denominations have entered into Europe, and yet ingratitude has still been their aim. indifference. And instead of becoming, they call them, what does Europe call itself? Christendom. Yes. What do the nations call themselves? Christians. And yet they've been selfish. And yet they've been ungrateful. And yet they have had envy. And yet they have had malice. And instead of practicing what God would have them practice so that they could become closer to God, the Gentiles went the opposite way. And when they went the opposite way, they brought upon themselves the irony and the judgment of the great God Jehovah. The great judgment day of nations is now in progress. How do we know? Well, you know, I don't have to tell you, Bible students, because all Bible students know this. I'm not telling you something new. I'm not telling you something that I'm giving you a special message to you only, and nobody else gave you this message. I'm just telling you what you already know. This is a way of stirring up your pure minds so that we can be what? Strengthened in these dire times. The reason that this message is coming this morning is so that you can be fortified in your minds, how you feel, your attitude towards what God is doing, your attitude towards what the world has been doing, and your attitude towards the destruction that is coming upon all the present society, how you should feel. Yes? Now, after all these years, you see, God has given them the opportunity. For the last 1900 years, we said that Christianity has been practiced. And instead, after all these things that they've had, now what have they had that would give them to have knowledge about God? Well, they had the greatest church that you could ever think about in Europe, that ruled Europe. And then besides that, they had the great reformers, and they had ministers and priests preaching all the time. What did they learn? What was the result? Wars after wars, after killing, after destruction, after miserable times for the poor. In all these 19 centuries, they had been downgrading the poor, they had been making wars, killing people by the hundreds of thousands. They say that in some of these wars they died 70,000 people in a few hours. Can you imagine? Life is worthless. Life is without any worth at all as far as they're concerned when it comes to war. This is what they've been learning. This is what they've been doing. What happened in the First World War? Where did the First World War start? Anybody can tell us? Europe, right, in Europe. Where did the Second World War start?
Germany.
In Europe. This is the place. And Germany is where Martin Luther brought forth the great works, the 95 Theses on the church Wittenberg door. And that's where the war started, you see. So what have they learned? They have learned war and killing and murder. That's what they've learned. Instead of trying to do the will of God, they have gone after what? The idols that Deuteronomy says. You should not listen to any false prophet. And what prophets have they been listening to? The prophets of war, the prophets of disaster. And they brought on these things. So the true character is now and has been shown by Christian kingdoms. Their true character has been war and destruction. And so the responsibility is proportionate to the life that they have. Now we know that the Chinese and the Japanese and those in India and those in the dark parts of Africa and South America, would they be held responsible as much as the people in Europe? Would they? No. Because according to your knowledge and understanding, will your responsibility be? Now, listen to this. This goes for you and I. How much knowledge do we have? And so how much responsibility will we have? We have more responsibility because we have the light before God. Now these nations have responsibility according to what light they have. Now we know that they don't have the responsibility to the extent that they will all go to second death. Isn't that true? They won't go to second death because God has not given them that much light. But the Lord's people who are consecrated and understand, they have given up the life on earth. And there will be second death if they do the evil that is the lowest evil, which is putting the Lord's name under their feet, and of course discrediting the ransom and so forth. But now these nations are before the judgment bar, and have been before the judgment bar since 1914. What has happened since 1914, dear friends? One nation has changed into another nation. They had all kings in 1914. And then after the kings came other rulers. And then we have seen with our own eyes, we have lived in this time when the great dictators came up and the dictators fell down. And other kinds of government have cropped up. And today we are living in a time that is very crucial. Crucial because we don't know what the next thing will bring. And so, friends, they have had great opportunities, and these opportunities were ignored. That majority of Christians, and they are Christians in name only. Actually, if you ask them anything about consecration, they don't know anything about consecration. You ask them anything about the Bible, they know very little, especially those that belong to the great church, the great mother church, have never practiced reading the Bible. Only lately they have. So all Christians are being judged, and the true Christians are being judged, because you are seeing with your eyes what the prophecies foretold in times past. You and I are able to stand on the sea of glass and see all these things transpire. Now, what does that do to our responsibility when we see and firmly? Does that increase our responsibility? It should. It should. Are we ungrateful? Are we selfish? Are we going to be like the nation? Or are we going to understand that responsibility and do with our might what God wants us to do and what our heart would like to have us do? So you see, friends, we know that the present time is the time of the end. We have studied that the time of the end has been going on. How long? Can anybody tell us how long that time of the end has been going on? Since 1799. That's a long time. That was the beginning of the time of the end. And since then, much judgment has gone on. And God is looking down because something is going to happen. Something is going to happen that is wonderful. And that is that God is going to, on the top of these mountains, He's going to establish His kingdom. Can you imagine? He's going to establish His kingdom on the top of all of these nations. Well, what's going to happen to these nations? How could He establish His kingdom on these nations? These nations must be taken away down to their very foundations. And then a new kingdom is to be established. The kingdom of the royal Messiah. The kingdom of Christ. And so, while we are being judged as members of the Christ, the reason that we are being judged is to see that we might be worthy to have a place
in that heavenly realm. And so while all these judgments are going on, and they are, the nations, the whole world of mankind, and the true church at the same time. But you see, it begins at the house of God. And that's one of the reasons that you have seen that there's so many splits and so many controversies amongst the Lord's people. Why? You wonder why? Well, this is the reason. The reason is that God will judge you to see of what mind you are. The judgment is now on you, you see. What will your next desire be? What will your next decision be? What will you do under such stress? What will you do under such controversy? What will your frame of mind be? You see, God is judging you one by one. Because individually, we are going to change. Individually, we are going to develop our character so that we can be made ready for the heavenly realm, where the church with Christ shall be kings and priests and what? And prophets. You see? Kings and priests and prophets, so that they can. What are they going to do? Well, after we tell you what happens to the world, then we'll tell you the wonderful work that they are going to do. Well, we found that in all of Europe, all the nations have been changed into from worse to more worse. And there's a reason for it. And the Bible tells us there would be a time when this great controversy will come to a climax. And we look now in Revelation, the 14th chapter. We sang the grapes of wrath, did we not? In the 14th chapter of Revelation, in the 6th verse, we see, I saw, if you can follow with me if you wish, and I saw another angel fly. Another angel flew in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. What is an angel? Who can tell us what an angel is in Revelation?
A messenger,
yes, a messenger. So this other angel flew with the everlasting gospel, preaching unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people. The message that went forth, you know, a lot of people, some don't want to receive this, but CTR was that angel. Who was CTR? Pastor Russell. Yes. He gave that message. He wrote more articles. He wrote more books. He wrote more leaflets. He wrote or had them written with the society at that time that went out in all to prove to all. Well, not all received. You can't say that those in the dark South America, Amazon jungle received the truth. You can't say that. Or in India. I don't believe very many in India received the truth. Or in Africa, either the southern part or the northern part. In the northern part, they're all Muslims and Arabs and so forth, and Egyptians. They didn't receive the truth. They wouldn't believe the truth. They don't even believe in God. They believe in Allah. You see? But the truth went out to those that are professedly Christians, and they received it. But how they reacted on it is another story. To them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. What does that mean, fear God? To be afraid of Him?
Reverence.
Reverence God. Yes, show reverence, praise unto God. And give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Oh, here we are, back on the hour of judgment. And that's where we are. And worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. Ingratitude is the world's reward, wrote a German author, because they have reaped the seeds of ingratitude. They haven't praised God, you see. And so what they're going to reap is a terrible condition that will come upon all the earth. And when will this terrible condition come? Armageddon. And we see it very close today. Armageddon means the masses against the classes. And it's coming. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations to drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And this, of course, is a picture of the great church of Europe that ruled in all of Europe. And she even said if one of the kings did not go according to her way, that she would excommunicate him. So there was fear because of that great harlot. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast or the image of the beast, and receive his mark in his forehead or on his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Oh, now here we have something. If you are connected with the beast of the image or the image of the beast, you're going to receive the wrath. This means that if you are in any denomination, if you are in any church whatsoever and not in the truth at the time of this great time of trouble, you're going to come under all these great hailstones. Now, this does not mean literally. What it means is that the fears, that anguish that is going to come to these people is going to be terrible. Men's hearts shall fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. You see? Why? Because they don't understand what's happening. You know, you're more fearful of something if you know, if you don't know what it is, than if you know what it is. Isn't it true? If you hear a noise, you say, what's that noise? You become fearful. Your heart starts banging. What's that noise? But if you went out and you saw what it was, you say, oh, well, that can just flew over and made that noise. It wasn't anybody. So you see, there's the difference. They don't know what's happening. They don't know that this whole society is coming to an abrupt end. They don't know. And so they fear, what's going to happen? What's the end going to be? But we know that the Bible tells us very clearly that if it wasn't for the very elect, you see, there would be no flesh left on the earth. Isn't that true? But what happens because of the very elect? It will be cut short, and the times will not last long. And then the great master of the sea, all these troubled waters, will say one thing. And what will he say to the oceans? You remember what the disciples said to Jesus on the Sea of Gennesaret or Galilee? Sea of Galilee. They said, and we have a song, carest thou not if we perish? How can thou lie asleep? That's what we sing. That's exactly what they said to him. Master, don't you care if we perish here? Look at what's happened. This storm is terrible. Well, how could you sleep when we're going to lose our lives? And the boat was rocking and the waves were strong and the wind was blowing water across the boat. And Jesus was sleeping down in the hold. Or, we don't know exactly how the boat was, but he was sleeping in a comfortable place. And so he got up, and he went to the front of the boat, and he spread out his arms, and he says, peace, be still. And the water's calm, just as calm as can be. If our master could do that there, what will he do now? In this great time of trouble, at a certain time, when it looks as though everything is going to be devoured, everything is going to be burned, everything is going to be dissolved, all of a sudden, peace, be still, and everything is going to stop
and be serene. That's what's going to happen after this great time of trouble. But, dear friends, who knows this? Who knows this? Do the worldly people know this? Do the nations know this? Who knows this? Only those who are members of the church that have the Holy Spirit and their eyes of understanding have been opened to see that these wonderful times of restitution are going to be for all mankind. These are the ones that have their eyes open. These are the ones that have, what did Jesus say they had? He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives unto you, but my peace I give unto you. What is that peace? Did you ever stop to consider that, friends? What is the peace that Jesus gives us?
The ransom?
Yes, Jesus paid the ransom. But before he paid the ransom, he talked to his disciples and he says, my peace I will give unto you, not as the world gives peace.
Peace of God?
Peace of
God.
Yes, peace of God. Yes, peace of God. And what is the peace of God? All right, we say peace of God. The
of
peace.
All understanding. Peace of God of all understanding.
Yes, peace of God all understanding. Anybody else?
Faith.
All right, faith.
He gives you contentment.
Contentment.
You're content because it keeps your heart, you don't care about anything in the world, so you are happy with God because he blessed you, he gave you that blessing.
Yes, peace with contentment. Peace with contentment. In other words, your heart is feeling no trouble. Why? Because you know that these times will soon pass. And you keep praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you know, friends, we have come. Now, we've talked about Europe, right? And we didn't say one word about the United States. And we should. Because the United States plays a great part in the world. And because it plays a great part, we shouldn't leave it not mentioned. Now, we said that Europe had every opportunity to receive knowledge and truth and understanding and everything, and instead of taking this in, what do? They developed malice, hatred, envy, strife, war, troubles, killings, persecutions. All these things, opposite of what is the will of God. And of course, we know that that is not what God wants. But, and today, we see that the minds of the people have gone astray. With the great troubles that are coming as travail upon a woman, with all these great troubles, the people don't even know what to think. They're doing things they ought not to do. And we find today, look around, I don't even have to tell you what's happening today. Read the paper, you know. What is happening in Washington? Do we have to go over this Watergate business to make you understand that every man's mind shall be open? Everything that you do shall be a written book. No, you can't do anything and keep it uncovered. You know what they talk about? The great cover-up. Cover-up. You know what that means? Trying to hide your sins. But you can't do it, can you? They can't do it. Not even the great president can do it. You can't do it. Every man's work shall be known of what it is. And they're even trying to stop the great news media of giving out this truth. They attacked the daughter of Mr. Hirsch there. What's his name? Hirsch or Hearst?
Hearst.
Yeah, the leader of the great syndicate of papers. They also kidnapped another newspaper. Why the newspaper media? Why? Are they the billionaires and the billionaires? No. It's the great oil men that are causing havoc in all the world today. Not just the United States. Oh, dear friends.
The eye of the Lord is upon all things, and they will have to pay retribution for all that they do. Now you see, it says in the Bible, go to now, ye rich, weep and howl. Oh, it's found in the 5th chapter of James, if anybody's interested. You shall cast your... Well, let's see what it says, and see what James says about it. And in the 5th chapter of James, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness amongst you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers, who you have reaped down your fields, which is for you kept back by fraud, crieth out to the cries of them that have reaped and are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned, killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What is this? The time will come. Now you wonder, the little factories and so forth that are defrauding the people? No. These great moguls, these great men that control the earth, they are the ones that are defrauding the people. Not only here in America. Well, we talk about America, the people have gone astray. But where did these moguls actually come out? I'm going to show you. They didn't come out of Europe. No. America that has had all of the opportunities that any country in the world could have. We have superabundance of all things in the United States. Isn't that true? We came out of nothing. We've had everything. We feed half of the world. Did you know that? We feed Japan. If it wasn't for the United States, Japan would starve to death. You know what they get from the United States? Soybeans. If it wasn't for the soybean, the Japanese would die because the poor people can't buy meat. It costs $14 a pound over there. So they eat soybean. They can't even make their own rice. They don't have enough land, you see. And so the United States sells them soybean. We've been selling wheat to every country. If we don't give wheat to India, you know how many millions of people will die in a year if we don't send them wheat? So the United States has abundance of all the foods, has abundance of blessings of God. He has given everything. How did the United States take it, dear friends? How did the people of this country that were founded on religion, if you don't mind, you look up your history and see how this country was founded. Do you know that the early pilgrims that came to the United States came because they wanted religious liberty? Yes. That's why they came. Because they were against the mother church in England, they were put in jail. And so they told them, if you go to the new country, then you can practice your own religion and do what you want. So they came here. And this country was started by religion. But, dear friends, the many advantages over all other countries that they've had, they have been the richest in all things. Do you know? We are so rich in oil in the United States alone that we actually don't need Arab oil. Did you know that? We only take 7% of the Arab oil. But you know what's happened? They have closed all the wells here, you know. They have closed wherever they're pumping.
The Alaskan wells, they haven't even started them. They don't even want to start them.
Why? We've got plenty of oil. What's happening?
These great moguls are showing their great strong arm. This is what we can do. And they're letting people in Europe, in every place, suffer because of what they're doing, you see. And in the United States, where we have the superabundance, there are lines of cars, 100 cars long, trying to get gas. And we have the superabundance. Doesn't it seem ridiculous? But you know what it is? They're showing their true colors. In a country where we have all these things, we have terrible things too. This is what it says. Many advantages. Temporal blessings multiplied on every hand, wherever you look. We've got the biggest wheat fields. Why? We have combines that start in Texas. And these combines go all the way up to South and North Dakota. And they get wheat. And they don't even have to have men to do it. They have these men that drive these. There are only a few men who drive these combines. And the combines will take care of the whole state in one day. Or 2 days, or whatever it takes. Then they move up the next state, and the next state, and they gather all this wheat. And the wheat is gathered so cheaply because of all these conditions, and they have such a great abundance, and they have the best kind of wheat that you can think of, and yet they do not bless the Lord. They do not thank the Lord. And because of this, dear friends, I am afraid that upon our own nation will come great calamities, because God is going to judge them too. They have outward forms of godliness. What do we have in the United States? Now, I'm not talking down the country. What I'm doing is bringing to your attention why God does not like hypocrisy. God does not like people who are not true. But what is happening here? They have many ceremonies. Isn't that true? Why, in the United States, we've had parades and ceremonies and patriotism and so forth, you know. But what has it done? It's brought on war and more war. All this patriotism was to bolster up the people so that when we do have a war, the soldiers go to war. Do you remember what happened in the Second World War? Some of you are not old enough, but some of you are. They planted hatred in every man's heart against the Germans. And they planted hatred against the Japanese. After the war, what did we do? We helped the Germans and we helped the Japanese. What happened to that hatred? There were lies. There were lies to bolster up the people. You know what that's called? Hypocrisy. And God does not like that. Dishonesty. God does not like that. Crime. God does not like that. And so that's what is happening here. Crime in high places. Because in our bureaucracies, dear friends, the much money that the poor people give for taxes are taken by these great men in our bureaucracy and appropriating it for themselves. And because of this, God will judge them. Not you. You don't have to judge them. God will judge them. Unfortunately, you know, we should feel sorry for them because the judgment will be severe and they will suffer. And we do feel sorry, but we thank God that a wonderful time of restitution will come after this great time of trouble. And now, because of these crises that have been brought about by the great men who control. What's happened in this country is the control has gone into the hands of a very few people. And they control the insurance companies, control many industries, and of course the food people control the food. Now the meat market and so forth in Chicago. That's all controlled by great moguls who are rich over there. They control the meat. The oil is controlled by the oil people. And so forth. You can go right down the line. I mean, I don't have to tell you this because you know it. But God is not pleased with this. because the poor people suffer. And as James said, that the cry of the poor people, of the worker, has come up to the ears of God. You see? And because of this, they will suffer even in this country who could have been a wonder in the world, this country who could have helped all of mankind, this country who could have been a leader in all the world. They call themselves leaders, but for war. And now what is happening is that everybody's making mistakes. Wherever you go, they're making mistakes. They say the Vietnam War was a great mistake. All right. Every decision they make is a great mistake. What is happening? Our very president, who was hated, he was hated when he was vice president, and yet he won a victory that was outstanding. Everybody voted for him, and now all of a sudden everybody hates him again. Why? Decisions that are made without thinking. People are making mistakes. Why are they making mistakes? Because the Lord has everyone in derision. Those who are not of the truth are in derision. Of course, we don't mix ourselves up with politics. We don't want to have anything to do with these things. But the Lord has in derision all the world of mankind, because it's His turn to bring down the calamity upon all this society, that it might be taken away. So let us not fear, dear friends. Whatever these things that are happening may come, they will go. But remember one thing. God has a purpose in all that He does. Jesus came by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, that He might be the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The only time that this can happen is when the very last members of the church go beyond the veil. And then the Messiah's reign shall come. Messiah's reign. Well, you say, isn't Jesus reigning now? Yes. He is reigning now, but He is reigning as a king in fury. But then He will be reigning as the king. You see, it's a phase. One phase goes out and the other phase comes in. The King of Peace, when He says, "Peace be still to all the earth." And then He will be reigning with His church, and also with the great company, and also with the ancient worthies upon the earth. And they will bring peace to all humanity. And people will go to the ancient worthies and ask them, "How shall we govern ourselves? Because we have failed so utterly in the past. How shall we govern ourselves to do the will of God?" And the ancient worthies will tell them how to do the will of God. And they will listen, and they will do the will of God. And they shall be times of restitution, times of blessing. It shall be a golden age, an age when no man could even stop to think or realize or dream what a wonderful place this will be. This is the footstool of the living God. What is He going to do to this footstool? Anybody know?
Make it beautiful.
Make it beautiful. You know what that beautiful means? That the whole world will be like a garden. Beauty that you can't even imagine. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of beauty in their hearts and in their minds, but they can't bring it out, you know, because of the terrible conditions. But in that day, people, instead of the engineers, you know, instead of thinking about making war material, they're thinking of making beautiful things that will praise God, you see. All these great men who invent these terrible machines will be inventing better things to help humanity and to praise God, because it will be a day of praise. The day of praise of Jehovah will be during this millennial age that we're living in today. We are in the dawn today. But it says, "Watchman, watchman, on the tower, tell me, what do you see?" And what did the watchman say? "The morning cometh, the night also." And the night is the terrible time. But the night is the dark time. But then after the darkness is over, what comes? "The Sun of Righteousness rises with healing in its beams, and shall
shine upon all humanity. And true, the church will be glorified, but all mankind, all these people who never had an opportunity, these people were never taught. We talk about the European countries. We're not talking about all the people. They haven't been taught the true religion. They haven't been taught the true righteousness. All their leaders are responsible. All their teachers are responsible. Woe to the shepherds in those days. They shall fall. But the people, and a lot of them, will be glad to accept what the Lord has to offer. Because most people are not bad by nature. After all, we are all the children of Adam, and we come from him. And you know, during these 6,000 years, people have degenerated, you see. But when you give them the real opportunity and you show them, and of course the Lord is going to rule with an iron rod, that's what he's doing today. He's using that iron rod today. But when he rules with righteousness and justice, then the people will say, this is much better living than we had in the past. Isn't that true? How about the cancer victims, friends? What will they say? Much better living, right? How about all those people that had tuberculosis? All those people that had all these diseases that we see today that are so rampant, and people's flesh is falling apart because of these diseases? All the sicknesses and sorrow that we have today, this will all pass away. The tears will be wiped away from every eye, and people shall see happiness and feel that sun, the sun of righteousness. You ever go out in a warm spring morning and you feel that sun on your flesh? If you just feel that sun on your arm, how nice it feels. It's like healing balm. And that's the way it will be then. Only it will be for all mankind. So I say we should praise God for all his goodness. We should worship him for his righteousness and for his wonderful plan of salvation that he has for mankind. We should honor him with our lips, with our hearts, with our minds, and with our thoughts, and with our doings, that we might be worthy to be his children. Truly, God is so wonderful, we should try to be better children because we're responsible for what we know. May the Lord add his blessing.
Sing all three of the verses, and we'll rise on the last verse.
Thank you.
Brother Tony will now dismiss us.
Our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, we render praise to thy name.